Let's sing that one together.
I love you, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, King.
Y'all sound so good. Sing it one more time. Here we go. Do you love him this morning?
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, Crossville Church. Thank you all for being here this morning. Thanks for everybody joining us on Facebook. Don't forget to comment and let us know you are worshiping with us this morning, and we appreciate you for following along. Choir members, don't forget choir practice at 5 tonight. And then, of course, we'll be doing small groups at 6 p.m. If you are attending the Good News Classroom small group, there are handouts available back in the sound booth. So don't forget to grab those on your way out the door. Likewise, board members, you have a board meeting tomorrow night at 6:30. Mr. Wayne has your packets back in the sound booth. So also swing by and pick those up on your way out the door. The quilters will resume this Tuesday at 9 a.m. Got to look to Fran, make sure I'm not telling any fibs. So last week I was talking to her about it, and she said, well, we know who we are. So quilters, don't forget about that Tuesday at 9, Good News Classroom. I know many of you have already purchased tickets for the Youth Valentine's Banquet this Wednesday night, which is Valentine's Day, in case you have forgotten, gentlemen. Tickets are still available for this dinner that is a fundraiser for the teens. So please see Keisha, and she can get you tickets this morning if you would like to be a part of that. MOPS is meeting this Thursday, both sessions, 9:30 to 11 in the morning, and then 6 to 7:30 in the evening. We will be having open prayer time like we normally do Friday morning at 9 a.m. here in the sanctuary. And then grief share also Friday morning over in the Good News Classroom at 10 a.m. Young at Heart is having a Valentine's party this Saturday at 10 a.m. in the Family Life Center. There is a sign-up sheet out in the foyer. I know several of you all had already signed up. It's at 1. Okay, thank you. No, it's at 1. So make sure you sign up. And there are two sheets out there, one for if you're going to be there and one for what you're going to bring. So don't forget about catching both of those. And then open walking time in the Family Life Center Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. And then mentioned to you last week, there were new continuous prayer need lists in the Sunday school classes. If for some reason you didn't get one of those, they are in the foyer. So please grab one of those on your way out the door and remember to be in prayer for those needs. And then finally, February is Alabaster Month. So Connie's got the box out. We're going to do like we normally do and just have you dump in your alabaster money throughout the month whenever you think to bring the box and when you don't forget it, like I did mine this morning. So just bring that in. And, of course, as we always remind you, this goes to build churches and hospitals and schools around the world. And there are a lot of resources on the Church of Nazarene's website. If you're curious and have time this week and want to know about where some of this money goes, there are a lot of great videos that talk about different churches that have been built with these funds. And so it's neat to see kind of a practical application of where some of that money goes beyond just putting in the box here in February and September. So thank you for your support of that, and thank you for your support of the church.
Some of you may not have heard, but Miss Inez Heumann passed away yesterday morning, and we do not have any arrangements at this point in time for her funeral. We do know that we will not be serving a meal here at the church. The family has asked that we will be going to bringing it to a family member's house here in Crossville. And so as you go out this morning, if you're able to help us with that, grab one of these. Linda will be out there, and grab one of these and bring it to the church. We'll notify you when the funeral is going to be. Just grab one of these, prepare a dish in it, and the church is going to be providing the meat. And so if you can bring something related to corn, beans, green beans, any kind of beans, potatoes, dessert, and bread, be sure and help us out with this. This will help us with not having to get dishes back and forth between the church and their house and then back here to the church. So that would be a great help to us, but we do appreciate that. And Linda will be in the foyer, and so you need to let her know what you think you can bring, and we will notify you when the funeral dinner is. How about that? We hate to hear of the passing of this very, 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 very sweet lady. She was something else, and I think there was rejoicing in heaven when she got there. Let's stand as you are able, and we're going to sing together.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Blessed Redeemer.
you to listen to the words of this song as we sing it together. Here we go.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing hearts. The Father turns His face away as wounds which mark the chosen
Thank You, Lord, that You were willing to die for us. You were willing to hang there in shame and disgrace in order that we might know You in full and free pardon of sin. We're grateful, Lord, for this opportunity that we have this morning to celebrate Your love, to celebrate Your grace, to celebrate Your moving in our hearts and lives, to celebrate, God, the fact that while we were still sinners, You died for us. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the earth. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that as we look now into Your Word, that You, through the power of Your Holy Spirit, would give unction and power as only You can. Without You, Lord, this is all in vain. It's just going through the motions. But with Your power and with Your strength, Lord, we will hear from You today, not just the words of William. And so, Lord, we thank You and we praise You today that Your Holy Spirit is already at work in hearts and lives. And, Lord, You're going to accomplish the purpose for which we have come together today. We really believe that because Your Word is going to be proclaimed. And so we thank You for that today. We're grateful, Lord, for those who are here today. Lord, some haven't been here, been able to be here in a while, and we give you glory and honor and praise for the ways that you've touched. Lord, some this week have faced circumstances and situations that they had no idea that they were facing this last Sunday. But Lord, you are with us today, and we can trust you. And we can know, Lord, that you are able to do immeasurably more than we can even ask or imagine according to your power that is at work within us. And so, Lord, this morning, we rejoice in God our Savior. I pray, Lord, for a family that is bereaved this morning. I ask you, Lord, that you would strengthen them and that you would comfort them. May they sense your presence. Thank you for the testimony of this little lady. Thank you, God, for the ways that you have moved through her, even in these last years, to witness to the people there at the center where she was. Lord, make us all witnesses right where we are of the goodness and the grace of God. And help us, oh God, this morning, that we would realize just how much you love us and how much you care about us and what you want to do in our hearts and lives today. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And we are believing you to touch hearts and lives today. For it's in the precious name of Jesus that we pray and ask these things. Amen and amen. I want to speak to you this morning from 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 3 as we go through the message this morning. Normally on the Sunday before Valentine's Day, you have already recognized that I do certain things on certain days, and normally on the Sunday before Valentine's Day, I do preach about marriage and family. But this past Sunday night, as we were together over in the Good News group, I quoted a song to that group that was over there, and it honestly kind of set in motion a whole thought process for this week and took me in a completely different direction, and I'm going to quote that song here in just a few moments. But today, instead of looking at marriage, I really want us to look at God's love and what it means to experience God's love. Listen to what we read here in 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He, speaking of Jesus, just as He is pure. This is the word of the Lord. I watch with great wonder many times as I'm with kids. Isn't it amazing to go with a kid to a zoo and them see an elephant, a full-grown elephant, for the first time, or to see a giraffe for the first time? I mean, their eyes get big and their mouths kind of drop open, and then they try to talk about what they have seen. And they really, because of their limited vocabulary, they really can't even begin to try to tell you what they've seen. They just know it was big. I read 1 John, and as I read through this epistle, John has been speaking to the people about the love that they should have one for another. He speaks about God's love, and then he gives them a warning about the Antichrist, and then he returns to the passage that I've just read to you and begins to talk again about the love of God. I love how John says this, There is a word here that absolutely I can't get beyond. And when I began to try to look at commentators to see what they had to say about it, I found out that they really, I don't think, could get beyond it and can really begin to tell us what the word means and where the word is. And it's that word that we find where John says, "How great is the love that the Father has lavished." Isn't that an amazing word? How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are, he says. Isn't that amazing? And the reason the world doesn't know us is that it didn't know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. It is an amazing thing when you read and when you try to find out about that word lavish. But what has been lavished on us is even more amazing, because what has been lavished on us is God's love. Somebody should have said amen. Good preaching, William. I look at this passage of Scripture and I want us to see three things this morning. The first thing that I want you to see is that John begins talking about this amazing love of God. I mentioned this in conversation after the group Sunday night. W.E. McCumber, who was editor of Herald of Holiness for many, many years. I got to meet Dr. McCumber, got to have him at our church there in Cushing when we were there. Dr. McCumber wrote this: "Try to put the love of God into words, and those words will crawl away with broken backs. They were never intended to haul such a weight." I love that. The first time I ever read it, I wrote it down so that I could remember it and so that I could make it part of me. Because you really begin to think about it. That's what I do. Every Sunday I try to give you words and I try to paint word pictures and I try to do all those things. But I found out a long time ago that many times the words that I'm trying to tell you, the things that I'm trying to show you, with the words that I am saying, they kind of crawl away with broken backs because they're just not intended to haul that kind of weight. The songwriter said, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win, his erring child to reconcile and pardon from his sin." The chorus says, "Oh, love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song." And then the second verse says this: "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song." They say that last verse they found on the wall of an insane asylum. I'm not sure the person who wrote it was insane. I can't describe to you the love of God this morning. I simply don't have the words, but I can tell you what kind of love it is. And I want to give you just three or four words here to tell you what kind of love it is. The first thing is, it is the sacrificial love. 1 John 3:16 says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us." I mean, the best picture that we have of God's love is in the cross of Christ. We see an amazing love. We see God's compassion for a lost and dying humanity. We see on the cross a sacrifice. A sacrifice of the King of the ages, taking sin upon himself to be our sacrifice. The just for the unjust. The sinless for the sinful. The unholy for the whole. The holy for the unholy. You begin to think about it. This kind of love is a sacrificial love. Last Sunday evening, as we were gathered together over there, we talked about the atonement. And so I have to come back to that word. This is an atoning love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says, This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. For about 3 years, and I've told you this before, so when I get to the end of it, just say amen anyway, okay? For about 3 or 4 years while we were in Muscle Shoals, I taught the junior high Sunday school class. And one Sunday morning, our lesson was on 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. And so as I would do, I would hand pieces of paper to the kids so that they could read the scriptures and all the things. And I handed this verse, 1 John 4:10, to Danielle. And she just looked at it. And so we went through the whole lesson. And finally I get to Danielle. And so I say, Danielle, I want you to read that verse. And so she begins. She says, this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an... She didn't know the word atoning. She had never seen the word atoning before. So she took the word that she did know and she put it in there. And this is what she said. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an astonishing sacrifice for us. And can I tell you something? She didn't miss it. It is an atoning sacrifice. It's an atoning sacrifice that paid the price. The punishment that was ours, Jesus atoned for. I suppose the closest that we could come to this is if a governor or a president were to issue a pardon to someone. And when that happens, the punishment is set aside and the record is cleansed. The guilt is gone. That's a human example, but that's a very poor example. Because the governor doesn't have to do anything except sign his name. The president doesn't have to do anything but sign his name. But Jesus, when He was the atoning sacrifice for our sin, He gave His life. A dramatic difference, folks. It's an atoning sacrifice. It's a conquering love. Love conquers all. We hear that all the time. And I really believe that we haven't grasped the full picture of that statement until we really begin to think about what Jesus did. Jesus died and therefore conquered the devils and the power and the authorities of hell. Bill Gaither in one of his songs says, His love wins the battles I could not have fought. Jesus is Lord of all. The love of Christ is a conquering love. We don't have to continue as we are. Jesus can change us. Praise His name. Well, you have the amazing love of God. But I want you to also look this morning at the lavishing of God's love. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. He lavishes His love on us. And that word means to pour out. And I'm not just talking about pouring. I'm talking about dumping. You know, have you been to any of these water parks where they have this thing that is there and it is filling up with water? As you're standing there and then all of a sudden, the weight of the water tips in that thing. And what is that big, big bucket of water will probably dump 100 or 200 gallons of water right on anybody who is unsuspecting. Does that sound like experience? It's not just one of these little sprinkles. It's not like one of these little things like we have down here at the water park in Crossville. I mean, that's nice, and I'm glad it's there for the children. I'm not going to be down there. But the lavishing, the overflow of God's love that has been given to us. We have a great capacity to love. It's amazing to me to watch people, and many people do love beyond what I would even try to do sometimes. But I look at this, and I even see that even in our great capacity to love, that sometimes we're very selfish in our love. If somebody does something good for me, then I'm going to do something good for them. And, I mean, it's kind of like at Christmas when we give a gift because of a gift that was given, and the next year we buy a gift because of a gift because of a gift that was given. I mean, it just gets over and over and over again. We have this capacity to love, but it's pale. When you begin to think of the love of God that has been extended to us, we don't deserve it, okay? The Bible says that we deserve punishment. The Bible speaks of a real hell. And the Bible says that in our self-centeredness, if we don't do something about our relationship with God, that in our self-centeredness, we may end up there. There's nothing that we could do. There's no amount of good works that we could do. There's nothing that will cover all the mistakes that I have made. There's nothing that can do away with the sins that I have committed. Only the love of God demonstrated toward me in that while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. Wow. Doesn't matter who you are in this room. God loves you. I don't know how I can express that, but not only does God love you, but He has lavished that love on you. You know, we're not here just to go through life unloved, because God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I mean, He has poured out on us, but not just love. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in Him, speaking of Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace. Get this, which He has lavished upon us. So not only has God's love been lavished on us, but God's grace has been lavished on us. It's just been poured out in abundance. Oh my goodness, it's indescribable, the lavishing that we have received. This next one you may think I've lost my mind over, but it's there. There is a lineage brought about by the love of God. I'm going to read the whole passage one more time. Listen at verse 1 through 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. An ancient Greek philosopher once said, man, know thyself. Sometimes I know myself too well. Sometimes I don't know myself at all. Do we really understand who we are? Do we understand that before we come to Jesus, we are aliens, we are strangers, we are far away from God? But when we come to Jesus, asking Him to forgive us of our sins, we become His child. I mean, it's an amazing thing. He makes us part of His family. And John declares here, not just once, but at least twice, that those who trust in Jesus are children of God. And can I tell you what we do many times? Even as children of God, we live so far below our means. We live so far beyond what God really wants for us and what God really has for us. You see, we're recipients of a present, personal relationship with Jesus. You know? We don't have to wait till we die in order to really know Jesus. We can have a personal, present relationship. John says here, that is what we are. And then he says, now we are children of God. I think John was overwhelmed with the thought of the fact that he, in spite of all that he had done, was a child of God. Now, you remember James and John? They were the sons of thunder. That was their nickname. Everybody that rejected Jesus, they wanted to call down fire from heaven on them. You do not win friends and influence people by calling down fire from heaven on them. Well, you will influence them, all right. And yet a present, personal relationship with Jesus had transformed him from a son of thunder to an apostle that wrote about love and how much God loved them and how much God wanted to change them. A present, personal relationship with Jesus. But then he talks about an heir, about being an heir to a future promise. But we know, he says, verse 2, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. You see, John understood that this present personal relationship was incomplete. That someday there was going to be more. That someday there would be the restoration of relationship that would be sight. That we would see him as he is. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the Apostle Paul talks about, but now we see, but a poor reflection. I think the King James Version says there, through a glass darkly. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But then Paul says, but then, speaking of that day, we're going to see him face to face. We're going to know even as we are known. You see, we are the children of God. We're part of this lineage. But we're also, get this, we're also keepers of an ongoing call in this thing. Because he says in verse 3 that if we have the hope that he's talked about in verses 1 and 2, okay, then everyone who has this hope in him, speaking of Jesus, purifies himself just as he is pure. John talked about a future hope that should prompt us. Now get this, folks. He's talking about a future hope that should prompt us to live holy and godly lives right here, right now. Amen. That's what we believe. That's what we teach. That God wants us to live holy and godly lives right here, right now. And folks, let me just go ahead and tell you, you can't do it on your own. I'm a pretty good person. I really am. I mean, I'm a good guy. Y'all be careful. But the only way that I can live an effective Christian life is through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. It is not William. I'm going to write a book one of these days, and I'm going to call it Failures, Flops, and Fumbles. The Story of My Life by William Bonney. But because of what Jesus did, because of the outpouring of the love of God that brings about a present, personal relationship that helps me believe that there is something out there someday that I'm going to be a part of that I can't even begin to describe, but I know it's there. I want to live in such a way now that there's no question. I got to the assisted living place Friday morning, and I asked the young lady who was standing there, I said, did Miss Inez make it through the night? Because I had not heard anything. And she said, yes, she made it through the night. She said, I didn't think that she would. I said, I didn't think she would either. She said, you know what she did? She said she called every one of the staff in. Once she found out that this was toward the end, she called every one of the staff in to tell them that she loved them and she wanted to see them in heaven. I'm not her judge. But I firmly believe with that kind of testimony that the reality of what John is talking about right here, she has seen and she is experiencing. And I don't want to miss that. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us. That we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. And the reason that the world does not know us is because it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are the children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope keeps himself pure. Wow. We sang the song just a few moments ago. Stuart Townend wrote, how deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. That He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. You see, it's impossible for me this morning to express to you in human terms what the love of God is really like. But the good news is, for you and for me, it is possible to experience it. That's the best news that I have for you today. That it is possible for us to experience it. We are now His children. Praise His name. Lord Jesus, we're grateful for this time that we've had to look into Your Word together. We're so grateful, Father, for the love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts. The love of God that has been lavished upon us, poured out to overflowing on us. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. But You have willingly given it. And Lord, when we try to talk about Your love, our words, as Dr. McCumber said, our words just break down under the weight of it because they were not designed to carry that kind of load. But how grateful we are, Father, that we can experience it. We might not be able to explain it, but we can experience it. And so this morning, Lord, I pray that if there's one in this audience today, if there is one who is listening today on Facebook, that they have not experienced the love of God, that right where they're sitting, right where they are right at this moment in time, that they would just simply say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person. Lord, I want to experience that kind of love. I want to live for You in such a way that other people can experience that kind of love. And we're so thankful, Lord, that when we say that and we mean it from the depths of our hearts, that You, through the power of Your Spirit, You come and do a work in us that nobody can explain, but that everybody can experience. And so, Lord, this morning I pray that You would help us in the quietness of this time, that if we don't know You as our personal Savior, that we would indeed say that prayer and experience your love today and experience your forgiveness, and that we would be, as Paul said, new creations in Christ. In just a moment, Lord, we're going to gather around your table. We're going to celebrate that love. And I pray, Father, that you would help us this morning to examine our hearts and lives. And Lord, if there is something there that really shouldn't be there, may we ask you to forgive us, because your word tells us that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just. And you'll forgive us our sins and you'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We rejoice in that today. May you bless us and help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a few moments, I'm going to ask Brother Bill Welch to come and help me. And we're going to participate in the Lord's Supper this morning. The communion supper instituted by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a sacrament. It proclaims his life, his sufferings, his sacrificial death and resurrection, and the hope of his coming again. It shows forth the Lord's death until he comes. The supper is a means of grace in which Christ is present by the Spirit. It is to be received in reverent appreciation and gratefulness for the work of Christ. All those who are truly repentant, forsaking their sins and believing in Christ for salvation, are invited to participate in the death and the resurrection of Christ. We come to the table that we may be renewed in life and salvation and be made one by the Spirit. You do not have to be a member of Crossville First Church of the Nazarene in order to participate in communion. We simply ask that you know Jesus as your personal Savior. And we want you to come and to participate in this. In unity with the church, we confess our faith that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. And so today we gather at his table. It is a feast for his disciples. And on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and gave thanks and broke bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, when the supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." And so today, we gather as the body of Christ to offer ourselves to him in praise and thanksgiving, asking that he pour out his Holy Spirit on us. And may we partake of these emblems today with grateful and thankful hearts because of the love. I'm going to ask the congregation to stand. We're going to start with this group over here. And you can come by and receive the elements, hold the elements until we have all received them, and then we're going to take them together as a church today. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was broken for you, preserve you blameless under everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for you, preserve you blameless unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and be thankful. Lord Jesus, we shed tears not because we are sad. I shed tears, Lord, this morning because I'm so undeserving. But the love of God has been poured out in abundance. Not only on me, Lord, but upon these who are sitting here this morning. And we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. And Lord, we do declare with the church through the ages that you are coming again.
We remember, Lord, that you died, but we remember, Lord, that you are coming again, and we proclaim that fact. And so we rejoice, Lord, in what you have done in hearts and lives today. And we rejoice, Lord, in the fact that we are participants in your kingdom and we can have a present, personal relationship with you. We rejoice in that today, Lord. May you go with us from this place. And may you help us, Lord, to remember whose we are. And that we might indeed live lives that would please you. And that would show forth your kingdom to the world that is around us. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I'm so glad you were here this morning. May you go in peace and celebrating Jesus as you leave today. Remember the classes this evening. God bless you. You are dismissed.